So in this spiritual warfare, we are in a battle, and it is a big battle. And our souls are in the mix. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 13. It says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to be known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and that I may speak boldly as I ought." And we're going to focus on the idea of prayer. And it's interesting because it depends on who you talk to. Because you have the armor of God, and you have the helmet, the breastplate, the shield, your feet, your boots. You know, we talk about the sword. All these things are all parts of soldiers' armor that we've looked at each one piece by piece. And so then it comes down and talks about the idea of prayer. And there's some that will say, well, this isn't really part of the armor. And others, well, yes, it is. You know what? I'm going to take the side that this morning, as far as a soldier goes, how important is our communication? You can have a soldier out on the lines, but if he's not getting fed orders, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know if what he's doing is productive or not. Unless he gets word and information on high. Because in here, the soldiers communicated from a gentleman. You know, actually, what happened oftentimes on the Roman battlefield, that you'd have the commander would be up on a higher hill looking over the battlefield. He had a perspective where he was able to see all that was going on. And in here, direct and command everyone to go and do what he asked them to do. And whereas the battlefield, you know, I might get orders, hey, you know what, I want you to flank to the right. And I'm down there saying, hey, no, I have an opening, I want to go for it. The commander is saying, no, go right, I want to go straight. Well, a good soldier is going to do what? He's going to go right. Because he's got to trust the word from command. Imagine on a battlefield, if each soldier decided for himself what he was going to do, it'd be chaos. You know, you're all lined up, and half the group says, oh, we're going to go forward, and the other half says, nah, we're going to hold back. That'd be disastrous. So prayer is simply that communication. So I'm going to go with the side that, yeah, I think it belongs within the armor of God. If you disagree with me, you can talk to me later. But first of all, I want to talk about the idea of what prayer isn't. Because it's, you know, over the years, I've been doing this now for 22 years. I've pastored, this is my fourth church. And in the process of all this, one of the things that I find lacking is prayer. Right? We talked about last week about reading the Word of God. And we're not in the Bibles like we used to. And we have access to it so much more. You know, if you have a smartphone, you can pull up everything. You can read the Bible on the go. You can listen to it. All these things, all within the palm of our hand. We have no excuse for not knowing God's Word. We really don't. But prayer is right up there. How often do we pray? And in here, you know, I've struggled with the idea, you know, what can I do as a pastor to encourage people to pray? You know, probably the less attended service that we have is our prayer meeting. We meet on Wednesdays. We meet at 6:30. There's a handful of us that are there, and I'm thankful that in here we come down and we pray. We pray for requests. We pray for our nation. We pour out our hearts with each other. And what a blessing that is. It's one of my favorite services in the middle of the week to get drawn away and pray. And as a pastor, there's always this frustration because, you know, we're busy. We're doing other things. And let me tell you something. The most powerful service that we should have is our prayer meeting. Our communication with God. Ask God to work. You know, it's interesting. When I'm in need, I want you to pray for me. Right? But when I'm not in need, am I praying for someone else? Or am I very selfish in my prayers? But, you know, I really struggle with the idea, why don't people pray? And I think some of it is maybe confusion. First of all, prayer is not a position. You know, in here, you know, do I have to fall on my knees? Well, it's interesting that scriptures talk about, you know what, there are people that fall on their knees and pray. But that's not it. We have people who stand. People raise their hands when they pray. People have their hands down when they pray. We have people that lay down when they pray. You know, we've gotten into very traditional, you know, fold your hands, close your eyes. And the purpose of all that is just kind of close out distractions. You know, I hold my hands together so they're not doing anything else. I close my eyes because I can't see what you're doing. So, sort of the idea is that I shut down all this external stimulus. So, here I am quietly talking with God. And so we feel like prayer is just very, because most of the time we really don't kind of do that. I don't know how often you just, you know, fall on your knees or do this whole formal thing. And so I think it just distracts us from what prayer really is. Do you have to close your eyes to pray? No. Especially if you're driving. All right? You know, I'll tell you, I prayed a lot while driving through Boston. And not once did I close my eyes. Now, my wife probably closed her eyes a few times. Actually, we have an agreement in the car, you know, because she's got the imaginary brake pedal. All right, does anyone else's car have that? You know, I think it's a free option in the car. You know, so we'll be going down through and, you know, yelling and screaming and going, you know, and pointing out that it doesn't really help because I get distracted along the way. So she'll be over, you know, breaking her, you know. And, right? It's not a matter of. We're here in a discussion talking about, well, you know, you got to be on your knees. No, you don't. No, you don't. Now, in here to say, you know what? I'm going to humbly bow before God and humble myself. That's a wonderful, beautiful picture. But for God to hear you, it's not required. Right? It's not in a position. It's not in a place. That God doesn't hear prayer more specifically because we're here, because we have a steeple that takes our prayers and points up in heaven and shoots it up. No. God can hear you as well as at home, in your bed, in your bathroom, on the road, as He does here. It's not a position. And all these things shouldn't be barriers that keep us from God. It's not in a language. You know, it's funny, as a pastor, I mean, I grew up in church, so I probably speak pretty good Christianese. You know, and over the years you notice that all of a sudden, you know, you start praying, and all of a sudden, you know, we had this professor at school, a wonderful man. He was a backwoods lumberjack kind of guy. That's what he did in his living before he got into the pastorate. That he was, you know, he used to run logs up and down the Penobscot River. And he was the dynamite, I told you guys about it before, he was the dynamite man. So if there's a log jam in there, his job was to take the dynamite, light it, and throw it. And so he was kind of a not very polished man. Always worked for a living. It was funny, we were out moving some logs. And at this point, he was in his 70s. And a bunch of his young guys were trying to move this log. And they had three of us on this stump that were trying to move. And he comes over, and he was a barrel of a guy, and he goes, "Move aside." So he comes up, and the guy had this paws that you wouldn't believe, wrapped it around that log, and just, and he picked it up, and we're all like, and he dropped it. He goes, "That's how you do it, fellas." You know, no one wanted to mess with him. He was just a rough, gruff, big-hearted man. But it was funny because you would hear him pray, and all of a sudden, this gruff lumberjack type of guy, he'd break into the perfect King James. You know, "Our Father, everlasting from everlasting, look down upon us this day. Thy grace and thy mercy pour out of..." And he would just flow this poetic King James language. And all us young guys were like, "Man, I can't, you know, I can't pray like that." And over the years, you know, I've talked with people about prayer, and it's like, "Well, you know, I don't want to pray out loud. I'm afraid what people are going to think about me." I love it. I was at church, and I came down, and I was standing at the back, and a lady, there was this one lady that always had a critique, a helpful tip in helping me preach. And she was walking out, and she goes, "You know, your prayer," she goes, "I quite couldn't hear it." And she was getting kind of picky, and it probably wasn't the best, probably the flesh got a little bit of me that day. And she was just like, just harping on me about my prayer. And I looked at her and I said, "Well, I wasn't talking to you." Which probably wasn't the best thing to say. So Lord, forgive me. And she kind of, "What?" I said, "You were just eavesdropping on my prayer to God." And she kind of, she knew what to say about that. That in here, in our lives, if we just realize it's not some flowery language, it isn't saying the right things or the wrong things. It's we're so worried over all these external things that prayer is not a special language that we have to master. Last thing here, it's not for the elite. It's funny, as a pastor, this is one of those positions, one of those jobs. You know, I go to someone's house and they're like, "Oh, the pastor's here. I have the pastor pray." Right? Everywhere I go, "Oh, well, I'll have the pastor do it." Can I give you a real secret? My prayers are no more special than yours. I don't have the super special connection. I don't have, you know, the bat line. You know, or growing up watching the Batman had the little red phone. No one has a clue what I'm talking about. Now, I don't have a special line. "Oh, the pastor's praying. Shh, angels, be quiet. You know, hush down. The pastor's talking." It doesn't work that way. That my prayers are no closer to God's ears than yours. And so these things are things that prayer is not. And I think it's really important for us to really get through our mind. Because prayer is simply talking to God. That's what it is. Prayer is simply talking to God. That in our lives, as we share with Him and talk with Him, God wants to hear from you. God's not impressed by the flowery language or all the dots and all the things we go through, the process of, "Look, I'm humbly going down." God just wants to talk to you. And as we talk to Him and share with Him, that in this, God is blessed. Take a look in Ephesians. Because when we talk about praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, there's some real powerful things in here. Because when we talk with God, when we pray, here Paul puts it into two things. He calls it prayer and supplication. Supplication means asking. We did that this morning. Is there a prayer request? Is there something that you want God to do? And we come down with a request. And God wants to hear us. God wants us to take our needs and lay them down. God wants us to do that. He tells us to. But that's just a part of prayer. In here he talks about prayers and supplications. That in this idea, as we pray to Him, it has to go beyond just the "God I want" into something more. All of us, I'm sure, have people in our lives, the only time we hear from them is when they want something. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Now, you may go months, maybe years, without hearing from someone, but when the phone rings, and you know now we have caller ID now, you know, it comes up and there's so-and-so's number, oh, it's them. And the first thing you want, and you know you shouldn't, right? But the first thing you want to do when you pick up the phone is, "Hi, what do you What do you want? Now, I'm sure that you are more than happy to help some people out. But after a while, if all they come to you is with their requests, that becomes a very lopsided relationship, isn't it? Isn't it? That in us, as we talk with God, we round that out, that in here we talk about things that we want, but also how about praise? And in here, that in here, a desire and talk to God about what we like about Him, how we love Him. And it can be a simple thing. It's not even a time frame. You know, to turn around and say, well, our prayer has to be 20 minutes. Or it has to be a half hour. Because prayer is just simply talking with God. And it can be as simple as driving down the road and saying, you know what? God, this is a beautiful day you made. A simple prayer. You know, I am horrible because I do not enjoy fall. And it's a beautiful season. You drive out and you see the leaves changing and all that. But my problem with fall is I know what's next. Right? So I'm miserable in the fall because I know it's going to snow. This morning it was like, oh, it's 33 at the house. It's going to snow. Instead of saying, oh, it's going to warm up in the 50s today, right? I'm just miserable because it's going to snow. It's going to come. Right? Instead of praising Him, saying, you know, God, this is a beautiful season. You know, God, you know that tree across the way? We have a beautiful maple that's just orange. It's gorgeous. God, good job on that tree. You know, that sounds superficial and silly. No, God wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to Him. How was my day today? God, you know, today was just a stinky day. Or maybe today was a good day. Or God, you know, so-and-so came my way. But this conversation that we can have on it, if prayer is simply talking with God, that takes away all the pretentiousness about it. And I think in here, it takes away the excuses of what we do. Because the Bible's clear in here, in the book of John, Jesus says this. He says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Now Jesus says, look, I want you to come to me and ask anything in my name. Now, what that doesn't mean, because we made it a, sort of a tradition, sort of a habit, that at the end of our prayer, we'll say, in Jesus' name, amen. Right? I say it all the time. And you say, oh, well, if I can ask for anything I want and just put Jesus' name on the bottom of it, then I'm okay. Oh, that's not exactly what that means. Actually, so much so that we're told in James, he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Right? If I turn around and say, God, I need a Ferrari. I'm faithfully going to pray for a Ferrari. I haven't gotten my Ferrari. Right? Why? Well, do I really need a Ferrari? Would be wise with my money for a Ferrari. Could I get up into my dooryard with a Ferrari in the winter? Right? I saw a gentleman a couple years ago. He had this real gorgeous, it was a Honda Accord. And the big thing was taking these old, like the 80s Accords and putting them low to the ground and putting spoilers on the bottom of it. And so this guy had like this much clearance. And he was cruising up through Belfast. I happened to see the car like 3 weeks later, and the whole low, the skirt around it was all ripped off. We're not made for that around here. We have potholes, right? We used to live on a road that is funny. You're driving down, and at night you see the headlights on, off, on, off, on, off. You come up, and there's a car coming the other way, and you're hitting bumps, and the headlights were flowing up and down, right? But we're so selfish oftentimes in our prayer. If we turn around and say, Jesus says, ask anything in my name, I will do it. We're like, woohoo, here's my list. And all I need is God to stamp it. God's not Santa Claus. You know, I've been a good boy. And here's my list. What he says, if we ask anything in my name, if we ask anything according to his will, if we ask what he would ask for, he will do it. But oftentimes our prayers are messed up because what we do. But God promises to hear us. James also goes on. He says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." Right? I don't want to discourage you from praying. Because sometimes in there, we're like, okay, well, if I pray, what if I mess up? You ever got in a situation where you didn't know how to pray? You know, you pray for someone, you know, okay, here you struggle, someone's struggling. Do you pray that they get better? Or that the Lord takes them home? Have you ever been in that position? Right? I don't know what the prayer is. And sometimes it just freezes us and makes us immobile because we won't pray at all because I don't know how to pray. And I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up. Well, prayer isn't this super mystical, you know, spell type of thing. And I dare say, you know, if you're with a sincere heart and you pour your heart to God and say, God, I want your will to be done. This is what I would like, but Lord, I want your will to be done. And we yield to that will. That is a profitable prayer. I remember talking to a lady. She goes, well, I don't like to pray because what if I pray wrong and bad things happen? And she was so afraid. She goes, look, what if I ask for this and that's not the best thing? And God does it because I've asked Him to. Well, you know what? That's bigger than that. Paul says in the book of Romans, "Is likewise the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought." Never been that way, right? I don't know how to pray. There's situations we come to. Lord, this is what's going on in my life. I don't even know what to pray for. Lord, I just need you to do something in my life. I need you to find a solution to this, and I don't know what it is. Well, Paul's talking to you this morning. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I figure it kind of works like this. Lord, I need a Ferrari. And the Holy Spirit's like, Father, he needs a Ford. Right? He doesn't know what he's asking about. Lord, give him what he needs. That when we don't know how to pray, Lord, be honest. And say, Lord, I don't know what the solution is. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how you're going to work this out. All I know is this is what's going on in my life. And you tell me to come to you and lay it down at your feet, Lord. And you will do something. You know, I love this because he turns around and talks about makes intercession for us with groanings which should not be uttered. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you didn't even have words. Right? Have you ever been so heartbroken and so hurt and so whatever in your life that you're just before the Lord like, ugh. And the Holy Spirit says, oh, this is what he means. Remember, prayer is not a language, right? It's not this big flowery thing. God can even take our and answer our prayers for that. And that the Holy Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. What a wonderful confidence that is in our lives. You know, as we talk about this idea of prayer, I just want to give you a tidbit. I never heard this before. I was just down in New Hampshire with my in-laws. And we're at the hospital, and they're praying for their son. And Sean, my brother-in-law, used this. He goes, he heard a sermon on push prayer. And I don't have a whole sermon on that, but I just want to give you this. And he talks about this idea of push prayer. And I really love this. And I think in here we talk about the faithfulness of prayer. Because oftentimes what happens is we'll turn around and we'll pray for something and that's it. We'll pray once and that's it. And oftentimes God tells us about wrestling with prayer. In here, be continual, be persistent in our prayers, be faithful in our prayers. And so in here, He uses this dialogue. He turns around and uses the word pray until something happens. I said, what a wonderful picture that is in our lives. Right? When you're up against the wall, when you don't know what to do, keep praying. Be faithful in your prayers. Be praying in your bed. Be praying in your car. Eyes open. Praying everywhere you go. In here, we can take these moments, these graphs, and turn it out to God. But keep praying. And it might take a day. It might take a week. It may take a month. Some people have been praying for years. Keep praying until something happens. And God will say yes. God will say no. Sometimes God says wait. But be faithful in your prayers. Pray until something happens. What a wonderful picture that is. In your bulletin, that's not what I want. Oh, I didn't change it. In your bulletin, I gave you, there should have been a bookmark. And if not, I don't know if there's a few more bulletins in there. There we go, that's what I want. I don't know if there's any more bulletins out back. But if you didn't get a bookmark, this is kind of wrapping up the spiritual warfare. But in here, allows you the opportunity, and this is just a sample prayer, nothing special in this prayer. But I think it's a powerful thing to purposely start your day with this idea of, Lord, help me set my mind on You. And in here, we talk about the armor of God and putting on each piece. And in here, I found this simple prayer that puts these things in perspective for us. It says, Lord, today I choose to clothe myself in You. To buckle on Your truth like a belt around my waist. To know that I have righteousness as a breastplate to protect me from harm. To walk with peace in all the places my feet tread, to hold tight to my shield of faith, defeating each arrows of accusation, to wear salvation like a helmet around my thoughts, and to grasp hold of Your words at a time at work in me, and to use them like a sword to cut through the darkness and confusion. Today I choose to clothe myself in You. Each one of these elements, Lord, today focus my mind on You. Lord, protect my heart, protect my thoughts, protect my feet, protect what I do in all that I do, to direct me in the war that's about me. Lord, protect me with Your armor. I can't do it alone. And here's a powerful, simple prayer of taking all the elements we've talked at over these weeks and put them in the front of your mind each day. Or maybe each morning you're in the battle. Okay, Lord, we're in the battle. I'm weary, Lord. Today I choose. Today I choose You. To take my thoughts and direct them towards You in all these things. Stay in here. Pray until something happens. Push. Because God wants us to be victorious in our lives. He wants us to be victorious in the storms that's about us. If we will put on His armor of God. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You even now, the moments that we can have in prayer, Lord, that in here, just spending time with You. And Lord, I think we will be amazed that not only do we end up talking to You, but Lord, we end up hearing from You as well. Lord, help us to come with You with our wants and our needs, but also, Lord, help us to spend time with You in conversation, to love You, to let You know what's going on in our life. Lord, give us the faithfulness and perseverance, Lord, to pray until something happens. Lord, have Your perfect work in our lives, Lord. We ask this in Your name. Amen.